it is appointed unto man once to die. The word appointed there is more than just everybody has to die. Of course we have to die. Every person here, if Christ does not come before your lifespan is finished, you've got to die. Your name will be on a tombstone. Your bed will be empty. Your place at the table, your plate will not be there. You've got to die. Now, you're a fool not to get ready to die. If you have to die, if you have to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Now, if you don't believe in life after death, of course you will someday, but I mean, it would seem logical if you don't believe in it that perhaps you wouldn't fret about this. But if you believe that people die and spend eternity in heaven or hell, and you do not know, K-N-O-W, know, that you're ready for heaven, how foolish you are. I picked up my newspaper one day in the city of Hammond, been many years ago now, and read an article that absolutely made my blood run cold. It told about some boys in South Hammond, one boy who had been killed. They had played a game. The game is called Russian Roulette. I'm sure you know what that is. You take a pistol and you put one bullet in the pistol. What do you call that thing? The magazine? Chamber. You put one bullet in the chamber. Now, if it has six spaces there for bullet, then you got one chance out of six that you're going to get killed. And they pass the gun around, and I started to bring one to the platform this morning, and thought I was here to play it. But we only have five of us, and I thought, well, there's no need to have, you know, we can't play it. And I thought we might play it, but we won't. But what had happened is this. These boys had actually played and gambled by pointing the pistol each at his head, pulling the trigger, and chancing that the bullet would not be set off on that particular pull of the trigger. One boy pulled the trigger, and the bullet pierced his head, and he went out into eternity. You know, when I read that, I thought there were a lot of games out there that played in there. Hopscotch or pick-up sticks or checkers. That just didn't appeal to me a great deal. And yet, I got thinking about this, and I got a sermon on it. And that is this. Do you know that unsaved people are playing Russian roulette, not with their body, but with their soul? It is appointed to man once to die. Now, what does it mean is this. Every man has an appointment with death. God has a date written in heaven. I don't know what the date is, but you have an appointment with death. You have an appointment with the coming of the Savior. Or you have an appointment with the crossing of the deadline after which you've crossed, you will never have opportunity to be saved again. There are three things that could happen to you today. They may happen to you, and I predict will happen to some today. There are three things. Don't let the fellows come in, please. Let them go to the junior church. Have a seat quickly now. Anybody else that comes in, send them to the junior churches. Don't bring them here while I'm preaching, ever. Now listen carefully. Somebody today will cross the deadline, or Christ may come, or you may have today written as the appointed day of your death. If you do not know that you are saved this morning, I mean K-N-O-W, not hope so. I asked a fellow yesterday, are you saved? Well, you said, I belong to a certain church. You're a fool to risk your eternal soul on hope so, maybe so, trying to be saved. I hope I'm saved. I wish I were saved. I think I'm saved. Let me tell you, my precious friend, there beats something in my breast today that'll have to live a long time after my body is turned to dust and after my tongue is silent and my lips are still. There's something that beats in my breast that'll beat forever. And I'm not going to change the fact that that thing that beats in my breast is not prepared for the inevitable. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that if I died today, I'd be with Christ. And anything less than a K-N-O-W, no, is foolishness. Oh, how foolish you are to have beating in your breast today an eternal soul. You've got to die. You've got to live somewhere forever. You've got to face God. You've got to be plunged out into eternity someday. And for you to know that you have a soul, for you to know that you've got to die, for you to know that you've got to face God, for you to know that you've got to go to heaven or hell, and not be able to stand up and sing, as I so often say, I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go, I want all to hear it, I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. Folly it is, foolishness it is, for you not to know that you're saved. Now there are three things, there are three appointments that you have. The first place, the coming of Christ. Our Lord gathered His own around Him one day in the upper room, and He spoke with them that night before His departure. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our Lord is coming again. When? I do not know. One time they asked our Lord something about that, and He said, the angels in heaven do not know. Only the Father knows the date of the coming of Jesus Christ. But as sure as I'm an inside, God has written a date down in heaven. He has written that date, and God knows when Christ is coming again. On that date, on that ledger in heaven, it may be written October 3rd, 1987. It may be September 10, 1994. It may be January 13, 1978. I do not know. But is it not possible, if we do not know the date, and there is a date, is it not possible that that date could be April 12, 1970? Is there, if we do not know when it is, and it is someday, is it not possible it could be April 12, 1970? Would you raise your hand if you would admit that possibility? Verify, keep them up. All right. Now that means that if you do not know that you're saved, Jesus could come today. And you would be forever lost without God, without hope, without heaven, plunged into hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never to leave. You're playing Russian roulette with your soul. I've been studying this book now for a long time. I have worn out, I guess, 25 Bibles since I've been preaching. I don't mean just beating. I mean study Bibles. I have Bibles in my study that are worn so thin from my finger marks that you could hardly turn the page without breaking the brittle page. I think I know something about this book. And I am convinced from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet that the coming of our Lord is very, very soon. The Middle East crisis. The earthquake in Turkey. I made mention last Sunday morning. That earthquake in Turkey. That fault that caused those hundreds to die in Turkey is connected with the Mount of Olives, and that same fault that caused the Turkey earthquake extends right on to the Mount of Olives. And our Bible says, in that day when our Lord comes, the Mount of Olives shall cleave in twain. I think our Lord's coming must be soon. There are many reasons why I think so. But I have studied this Bible from cover to cover for these 25 years I've been preaching, and I stand before you this morning and say frankly and honestly, Jesus Christ is coming again, and I think it'll be soon. I do not think it is at all beyond the realm of probability that Christ could come today. And if he did, if you're not saved, there you sit unprepared, playing Russian roulette with your soul. How foolish you are. I can recall when I was a kid preacher, down in, I always say kid preacher so much I don't remember when I wasn't a preacher. I can recall when I was a kid down in Texas, they came to our city one day in our neighborhood, the Trinity Heights playgrounds, a big revival. Back in the days when it was really something, boy, a big tent was stretched across the Trinity Heights playground where I used to play ball as a kid. And a big old barnstorming evangelist came in named B.B. Krim. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was just a kid. My mother and I went to hear him. B.B. Krim one night preached on the coming of Christ. He said, Jesus Christ is coming and he's coming soon. That was early September and or late August. And B.B. Krim said, and I quote, he said, he's coming before Christmas. And I thought, good night, I've got a lot of things I want to do before Christmas. And that was late August or early September. And B.B. Krim said, in fact, I think he's coming now. He had a rail across the about as high as this pulpit, across the front of the platform, and he said, it's going to be like this. He said, it's now, now! And all of a sudden, he shouted, come forth! And you know what? He ducked behind the pulpit like this. And he crawled out. And I didn't know he was crawling out. And I looked up at Mama, and I said, Mama, did the Lord come? And my mama said, I don't know. And I said, I hope he didn't. And mama didn't say it, but she hoped so too. And he crawled outside that tent. He was gone. I thought for good, or for bad, rather. And then he crawled outside that tent, and he went around the tent. Nobody knew where he was gone 2 minutes. It seemed like it was 2 years. And he came back in the door over here and said, I scared you, didn't you? I said, you sure did. I never was so glad to see a man in my life as I was to see him. I was preaching Thursday night, Friday night, at Akron, Ohio, at that great, beautiful Cathedral of Tomorrow, 5,000-seat church. They don't run near what we run in Sunday school, but it's a big, beautiful church, 5,000 theater seats. And they have a big choir hang up here, and the platform, you push a button and it lowers, it raises. And I didn't know it. So I was sitting on the platform, you know, and all of a sudden they had a trumpet duet. And all of a sudden those trumpets started playing, and and it lowered the platform. I thought, good night, the Lord's coming, I'm going the wrong way. And there I was, going down. And boy, I said to the fellow beside me, what's going on? And he said, I don't know. I said, I mean, one thing, whatever it is, if this is a rapture, you're in a bad fix as I am. I'm not even sure. Oh, bless your heart. There are not many things I know, but there's one thing I know. If he came today, I'd rise to meet the Lord in the air. You're playing Russian roulette with your soul. If you can't stand up and say, me too. There's a second appointment you have, and that's the appointment with death. God has written on a paper or on heaven's parchment. He has written a date for your death. I do not know what the date is. I do know there is a date. I'm not for sure. It may be October 27, 1974. That's what may be on your tombstone. It may be November 17, 1972. It may be February 19, 1994. I don't know what it is, but I know this. You have an appointment, a day when your body will no longer live. Your heart shall stop and your blood shall turn cold and you shall meet God. You've got to die. Oh, let me tell you again and again and again, you've got to die. Young people, you've got to die. You've got to die. There is a date. I recall I witnessed to a man one day. He came to our church in another city. He visited, and I told him about Christ. I preached to him with all the love and compassion with which I could muster. I tried to get him saved. He wouldn't get saved. I went back to the door and talked to him after the service, and I begged with him. And I recall I got on my knees and said, "Please, please, say yes to God." He said no. The next day, I went up to the grocery store in our neighborhood, a little country area. I went to the grocery store, and that man was there. And I looked at him and I said, "Sir, I had prayed you'd get saved last night. I'm sorry you didn't." He looked at me and he began to laugh and he said, "Why, Reverend, I've got faith." He never finished it. "I've got faith." He never finished it. He dropped over in that grocery store before he finished. He said no to Jesus Christ the night before. The next morning he said no to the preacher. He said, "I've got plenty of..." He started to say time. And in that grocery store, his soul went out to meet God. Now you don't say you've got plenty of either. You don't know. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." There's a date on God's calendar when you've got to die. You don't know what it is. They ask you a question. Is there a chance? It's April 12, 1970. Do you know when you're going to die? You do know you're going to die. Is there a chance? It's April 12, 1970. If so, would you raise your hand? I'll raise mine first. Way up high. Way up high. Keep them up for a minute, please. Keep them up. All right. Then you've got to die. It could be today. If you do not know that you're saved, you're playing Russian roulette with your soul. We're having a service in Texas, one of our churches there. We had a visiting speaker that night. I went back to the back door and the fellow came in and I shook his hand, greeted him. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Fine." In the preliminary service, in the training year an hour, he sat back in the back and about four or five rows in the back, waiting for the main service to come or his time to speak. And suddenly someone screamed and said, "Help!" I went back, and that man that was about to speak in my pulpit less than 15 minutes later had a heart seizure, a heart attack, and was dead before the service even started. A young man came to me one night at the altar of the church and after the service, and I tried to win him to Christ in an East Texas church. His name was Bobby Flowers. I said, "Bobby, I want you to be saved tonight." And Bobby said to me, "I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time." He left the service and drove out on Port Caddo Road toward Karnak, Texas, down the home of Mrs. Lyndon Johnson, and drove down that Karnak Road toward Port Caddo Road down toward Karnak, Texas. And suddenly a car hit the center of the highway, and a drunken driver came to his side. And that young 24-year-old man was plunged out into eternity without God and without hope. A man came to my church one Sunday night in Texas, East Texas. After the service, I preached that night unto hell and back. After the service at the door, I shook his hand and I said, "Mr. Boulware, I prayed you'd get saved tonight." He looked at me and he gritted his teeth and he said, "I'll tell you, Reverend, I'll get saved in my own place, in my own time." And I said, "No, you won't." I said, "You're mocking God. And you won't pray with God like that." He gritted his teeth and laughed at me and he said, "I'll get saved in my own place, in my own time." You're 39 years of age. That was Sunday night. They're having revival services. Tuesday morning, I was sitting in revival services. Joe Boyd was preaching. Someone came up to the window. They had, back in the country churches, we had just plain windows, had them open because it was summertime or warm weather. And somebody came up the window and they said, "Reverend House, come quickly." I went out and they said, "It's Mr. Boulware." I drove about a quarter of a mile down to his house. When I got to his house, his wife was on top of his body. His body was lying a corpse on the bed, 39 years of age. 39 years of age! Lying a corpse on the bed, and his wife was giving him artificial respiration as best she could and had her mouth at his and saying, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! He didn't wake up! He woke up in hell like you'll do if you don't get saved." I'm sick and tired of a world plunging itself toward hell. We preachers involving ourselves in marches to Selma, involving ourselves in race problems and social problems and demonstrations and all the rest of it. The soul of man must face God. And man must live forever, somewhere. Oh, I beg you, my precious friend, you've got a soul beating in your breast today. It's got to live forever in heaven or hell. How foolish it is for you to play Russian roulette with your soul when today we may go to the funeral home and see your body lying in state. Oh, you say, I'm young. I plan to live a long time, and I don't think our Lord is coming soon. All right, there's still another thing you've got to worry about, and that is the deadline. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1 tells that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh could not be saved. Hosea 4:17 says, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. Genesis 15:16 says, the heart or the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In Romans chapter 1, three times it says, God gave them up, God gave them over. If you are going to live to 2000, if Jesus Christ does not come in your lifetime, if you had a guaranteed assurance you wouldn't die for another 35 or 40 years, you still are going to come to someday when God's going to say, let him alone. Holy Spirit, you've spoken enough to him. Speak to someone else. And the Holy Spirit, like a quiet, gentle dove, shall lift from your head. Oh, how could I forget that lady who came to me one night in Garland, Texas? And she said to me, she said, you're my favorite preacher, but I'm going to hell. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're my favorite preacher, but I'm going to hell. I said, tell me about it. She said, every morning, I have a clock radio, and you wake me up every morning. I set it on your broadcast, 605 on KSKY, and your voice wakes me up every morning. I love to hear you talk. I'm cheered with the way you say good morning on your broadcast. I never miss you. But she said, I was in a revival once. And God spoke to me, and he spoke again, and he spoke again, and he spoke again. And I said, no, no, no. She said, oh, I don't know all about it, and I won't go into the whole story. But she said, Reverend, let me tell you something. She said, I've lost all desire. I enjoy coming to church, but no convictions over there anymore. There's never a tug at the heart. There's never a desire to walk the aisle. Oh, she said, Reverend, if only one more time I could sit in church again and feel what I used to feel beating in my breast. Oh, what happened? She had said no to God one time too many. There is a line by us unseen, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of man between glory and despair. God has a date written on heavenly parchment. And that date has on it the date that you will cross the line. I am as sure as I am that I'm standing behind this book that we have people in this city, and I don't use illustrations here, things that happen here. I don't want to offend people or hurt loved ones who remain. I only use illustrations of churches before I've pastored and places before. But if God were to call me elsewhere, and I hope he'll never do it, but if God were to call me elsewhere, I'll be able to preach and tell some stories here, about here. But I'm as sure as I am as I'm standing behind this pulpit. We've had people who've been to this church again, 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 who said, no, not yet. I'm not ready. Not now. Not today. Later. I'll do it sometime, but not now. And I've seen the tears of conviction roll down their cheeks, and I've seen them shake the pews. And I've seen loved ones put an arm around them, and I've seen them as they cried, and their lips quivered, and they said no. But I've seen them keep coming to church, and now there's never a tear. There's never a tremor. Come on. I know people, I could call the names of that many people right now, whom I believe since I've pastored this church, have crossed the deadline. Have crossed that line when God says, let him alone! Holy Spirit, let him alone! Holy Spirit, let him alone. Holy Spirit, he's drawn to his idols. Let him alone. Holy Spirit, give him up. If you're not saved, the day is coming. When Christ shall come, death shall come, or the heavenly dove shall take its flight. I say this just for the sinners who are here, just for those that do not know they're saved. In closing, a week ago today, was the 82nd birthday of my father. On January the 1st, 1950, I put my arm around my dad's big shoulders and begged him to say yes to Christ. And my dad said, "Son, I'm going to do it. I'm almost ready. I'm going to do it in the spring or early summer." And I let him off the hook. May 13, January, February, March, April, 4 months and 13 days later, he was standing on a sawhorse, hanging drywall, and the pain came in his chest. And his 62-year-old body fell in death. When I knelt on his grave, I said, "Dear God, if I'd have known it'd been so soon, if I had known it'd been so soon, I didn't know May 13th was written as my day. I didn't know. If I had known, I would have pushed. I would have pushed harder, persuaded more, cried more, pleaded more. I didn't know. God knew. May 13, 1950 was on his death warrant. I didn't know it." He didn't know it. And you don't know when yours is. In 20 years, next month. 20 years. There hasn't been a Saturday night in those 20 years that I haven't opened my billfold and looked at his picture and said, "Oh my God, let me preach tomorrow just like he was sitting in the pews." And so I beg you again, as I've done for these almost 11 years, don't take a chance. Don't chance it. Don't chance it. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. Please. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to the hearts of every person here who knows not that he's ready to die. Oh God, thou dost have the date set, the date of the coming of Christ, the date of our death, the date of our crossing the line, when no conviction will ever be felt again. God, may every person in this house today leave this building knowing that he's saved. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you can say, "Brother Hiles, I'll be honest this morning. I'll be honest. God knows I'm being honest. If I died this moment, I'd go to heaven, and I know it, for I've been born again." Would you raise your hand way up high, please? Would you keep it up now for a minute while I say a few words? Beloved, if your hand is not up, may I say this to you? You've got to die too. You don't know when it'll be. Jesus is coming. You don't know when it'll be. The deadline is coming, you know not when. I beg you, consider Christ today. And drop your hands. I wonder how many who did not raise your hand would do so now and say by the lifting of your hand, "Pastor, I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that if I died today I would go to heaven, but I wish I did. Oh, God knows, I've got to die too. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm ready. I want to know that I'm ready to die, ready for Jesus to come. I want to know that I'm saved. Pastor, would you pray for me? On the lower floor, would you raise your hand and say, for the raising of the hand, pray for me that I may know that I'm saved. God bless you, lady. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you, young lady. I see you. God bless you, sir, over here on my left. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, include me. God bless you, fella. God bless you, fella. God bless you, man. Yes. And God bless you, little lady. I see you over here. And God bless you back here. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. I must die. I know it, and I want to know I'm ready. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. On the lower floor, over here on my right. God bless you. Yes, I see just the hand. God bless you. Amen. Who else on the lower floor? You would say, include me in the prayer. I want to know. I don't want to take a chance. I'm not going to play Russian roulette with my soul anymore. I want to know that I'm ready to die. On the lower floor, pray for me. Lift your hand, please. Back in the back corner. God bless you. I see you. Thank God. Who else on the lower floor? Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand, please. On the lower floor. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Who else on the lower floor? May I see your hand, please? Quickly, would you raise it? Pray for me. God bless you, little lady. I see your hand. Who else on the lower floor? You want to know that you're saved. You want to know that you're ready to die. And you'd say, pray for me. Lift your hand, please. On the lower floor. Quickly, would you raise it? God bless you, sir. Son, I see you, son. God bless you. God bless you, fellow. I see your hand. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? Right quickly, would you lift it? I want to pray for you. May I see your hand, please? In the balcony to my left, would you raise your hand? The left balcony, the east balcony. Would you say, include me in the prayer? I want to know I'm saved. Lift your hand, please. The east balcony. God bless you, lady. God bless you. Who else in the balcony? East balcony. Would you raise your hand, please? The center balcony. You'd say, pray for me that I may know that I'm going to heaven. Lift your hand, please. God bless you, lady. God bless you. God bless you. The balcony on my right. Would you raise your hand, please, and say, pray for me that I might be saved and know it. Lift your hand, please. God bless you. God bless you, little lady. I see you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, oh God, today, speak to the hearts of all the people. Everyone whose hand was raised, say in his heart, today is the day of salvation for me. Make it so. Heads are bowed. Now, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, if you raised your hand or did not and should have, I want you to pray this prayer to God silently right where you are now. Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Say it now and mean it in your heart. Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And save me now. I do now receive Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin. Say it and mean it. Then when we stand and sing, I want you to leave your seat. Come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and let me know that you're receiving the Savior. We can help you. Don't linger. Don't wait. Don't play Russian roulette with your eternal, never-dying soul. Come this morning. If you're saved and want to get baptized, then you come. If you want to join an old-fashioned church by transfer of membership, then you come. We'll write and get that membership for you. But by all means, if you do not know that you're ready to die, know so today. Know so today. Oh, God, speak to our hearts. Stir this building with heavenly conviction. I call heaven and earth to witness this invitation. That which is done on earth shall be done in heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen.